But during those depression days, there were, now that was before Social Security, there's no such thing as government aid. There were people, we had a family below us, a mother and three girls. This is in the depression, during the depression, a mother and three girls, and the mother was sick and weak. She couldn't afford a doctor, so she got no help. We knew they needed food, so my father was living on the farm. We had meat of all kinds. My father sent us down different times with meal, beef, and pork. We learned later, after I was grown, that what she had was what we call, what was called inflagra. It was a vitamin deficiency. Dr. Spies here at Birmingham discovered that vitamin deficiency during this time was some of the conditions that people had was caused by the vitamin deficiency. But that was before, after this time. But this lady died. And I know what happened to the three girls. Another lady was expecting her first child. And they were so poor that they couldn't get a doctor's attention. And they, young as they were, they went ahead and something happened to the child and it died before it was born. And the lady waited, the girl waited and waited. My mother, finally, knowing that the baby should have been born earlier, went over there and found out that the baby had been, the fetus had been dead. And we got the doctor and carried him over. But it's too late, and the lady died. This was typical. There were hundreds of instances. Now, after Roosevelt came in, he put up aid programs. And they sent out aid people who would tell you if you had the produce, if you had beans, or whatever, corn, they'd take you canned. They'd furnish the cans. Anything costs money. All you had to do was furnish the labor and the food. And they'd meet in a community, and everybody who wanted to participate on this program would meet there, and they'd work for days canning tomatoes, canning beans, canning corn, or whatever they could can, in 10 cans that the government furnished. One of the things that nobody would think about today, we like to play baseball because there's not much else to do, but we couldn't afford to buy a ball. Our neighbor west of us, the lady was a great knitter, and a bunch of boys, and they had all kinds of knitted socks. And if the socks got where they couldn't wear them, the foot would be gone, but the sock part, the leg part, would be there. So what we'll do is go in there and unravel, I don't know what the name of it is, the wool thread. And then we would get a solid rubber ball that's in the center of baseball. We usually have one of those. And we'd wrap that with this wool twine. And I even tanned a possum hide and cut out a pattern and made a cover for that
out of Possum Pasture.
Did he sell it on there?
Sure did on. And I made all of our batch in our shop. I had the seasoned poplar. I didn't have ash. And I would take the drawing knife and wood rash.
Could you just whittle it?
I'd whittle it out and make a pretty good batch. We'd use it anyway. But the point is, and we never felt sorry for ourselves, because everybody was in the same boat. There was no such thing as rich people and poor people. Everybody was poor. And there was no stigma of not being able to eat good food. If you had anything to fill, you were fine.
You started college in 1931, didn't you?
Yes, I started college in December the 3rd, 1933. Only because my former school principal, who was later superintendent of education in Edgewood County, sent for me to come to school one day when I was 19, a year after I'd finished high school. And
where did you start?
I finished at Alton. I finished high school at Alton. And they had a very good school. A very good school. And when I went over, he said, I've got a scholarship that Dr. Doggett, the president of Jacksonville College, wants me to give to some deserving young man. He says, I got you in mind. I said, you don't have to go any farther. He said, if I have to walk, I'll get there. And the scholarship was for $75. And it paid my tuition for 9 months. And bought all the books I used during that 9 month period. And I had to furnish my livelihood. But he rented Dr. Doggett on the campus now where the high school building is. It was a little place called Hammond Cottage. And three boys and I, these three boys were from San Mount, rented that little cottage. Two rooms with a lean-to kitchen, and it was furnished. It had a three-burner oil stove in it, and we did light housekeeping. We batched the four of us for a year, and we'd get out of class and run down the hill to the cottage and light the stove, and we couldn't afford loaf bread, so we had to cook bread. It was always cornbread, and it was never done, but each of us got a corner that was done, or a dunner. And we all made it fine, and all four of us came out, and the next year got a school at 9 months of college.
Didn't you say you were a chauffeur for Dr. Doggett?
Yes, I got acquainted with Dr. Doggett. Well,
it was a small school then, right?
There were roughly about 1,000 students. And Dr. Doggett, in getting me settled into this furnished house that rent from the school, we became acquainted, and he was a very fine man. And he had a 1928 model wooden wheel. And he asked me one day if I were a good driver. I said, "Well, yeah, I've been driving since I was 6 years old. I need you to drive me around." And so I became his chauffeur. I drove him different places that he made talks to high school students, and it was very good for me, and it helped my self-esteem.
You got a degree in education, and you said that you got a school after 9 months. What was public education like whenever you first began teaching, and what were some of the problems that they had?
Well, I began teaching in a two-teacher school in Bluff County in 1934, in October.
Dealing with the patients.
School then was 7 months. And there was no limit to the classroom, the membership. My first year, I taught grades 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I had 44 children in those grades. My grandmother was a teacher, and she taught with me. And she taught grades 1, 2, and 3. And she had 60 students in grades 1, 2, and 3. Now, it doesn't take much imagination to know that at that time, education didn't, for those children didn't have as much cash as education does today for a classroom of students. There was no there's no electricity. We had a pot belly stove, and since I was a principal, I had to fire the stove. I had to get the wood to start the fire every morning. County did furnish coal. The boys didn't even have an outdoor restroom. The girls had one, but the boys then, they had to go to the woods. And if there was any chalk used, and of course I had chalk, I bought it. But then I could afford it because I got paid $6 a month teaching. Yeah, I was well off. But I had to furnish anything. I know I bought a duplicator, which was a square board with gelatin on it, and to use the right kind of marker, and you'd wet the gelatin, then put your coffee down, and it'd stay so many minutes, and then you'd put your blank sheet down, and it would reproduce.
Just one at a time.
One at a time, and you'd pick it up. And I did an enormous amount of that. Of course, that was night work. But at that time, students had to work in the rural areas. They had to pick cotton mostly in fall. So, historically, most students didn't start until after the cotton was in. Mm-hmm. And that would, you'd have students that might start to school the first day of December.
Oh, well, they would start at different times?
They started when the crop was there. Mm-hmm. And you might have had some students who had been in school a month. Other students who came the first day, last November. For a decent.
So you was trying to take some of the same stuff at different.
And, but one illustration that sticks in my mind, of course, we had a well on the school property, and we drank out of a bucket. Each student had his own cup. If he didn't, he made a cup out of paper. But one morning I went to the well to get water. And I noticed one of my favorite little sixth grade boys coming across the playground, and it had rained the night before and then turned very cold. And ice had spewed out of the ground, and it was, I guess it was 3 inches deep across there, just what we call spew ice. This little boy was kicking ice every step, barefoot. And never lost a smile on his face. But today, that young man is very well off.
Where did you go after you went to that place?
Abraham Hill House. I went to a high school and taught for, I taught 19 years. I was teaching in coach two. I was coach 4 years. And then after my 19th year, I became principal of the school at Cleveland, where I had gone from the grammar school, from the elementary school, 1953.